Okay, part two of the ministering mother. Now, I want to say something to clarify something that I said last week. I'm only doing one thing. I probably need to clarify more than that, but oh well. And that was the comment concerning Dr. Dobson. I didn't want anyone to take that the way that it wasn't meant. I simply meant I don't listen to him. That's all I meant. So if you're thinking things, stop. I just don't listen to him. There's nothing wrong with him. I just don't listen to him. That's all. Okay? It made me feel better to say that. Makes you feel better? Okay, yeah. Last week, we learned the importance as mothers for our own personal relationship with the Lord, spending time with Him so that we could then be better mothers. And I hope that you all put that into practice this last week. Heard from a couple of you that you had a harder week because your consistency level, you know, raised a little bit, and that takes more work, but you will love the fruit. And we learned that our primary responsibility as moms is to lead our children to the Lord, the importance of that. Of course, the importance of our godly example in their lives, and then sharing the word with them, praying with them, leading them to Christ. And then we also talked about the importance of that training, that narrowing, or that discipline in our children's lives. And today, what I would like to do is kind of share a potpourri of wisdom from those of you who kind of took part in that, I don't know what you'd call it, not a survey, but you answered those questions and kind of gave me your input, your wisdom, things that you've learned, things that you think are important. And so I kind of put all of those together in really in no particular order, but kind of put them together. And yes, of course, I added quite a bit of my things that I think are important. And so that's what we're going to do today. But I want to begin in Proverbs chapter 1. If you would turn there with me, I want to read some passages in Proverbs. And also, as we go along in this, if you have any questions, something, some issue that we're talking about or whatever, if you have a question on that, why don't you write it down so you don't forget? And then if we have time at the end, we'll do what we did last week. Once again, not guaranteeing that you'll have an answer to your question, but we'll give it a shot. Proverbs chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be graceful ornaments on your head and chains about your neck. And then in chapter 2, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you will incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you and understanding will keep you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. Chapter 4. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place honor on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. I love that, and Proverbs is so full of wisdom, and we're kind of, that's what we're doing today, is we're getting those words of wisdom from all of you. And once again, asking the Lord to open our understanding, to help us glean and learn whatever we can, and then take those things that don't apply to us and throw them out. So again, these are in no particular order. One mom, a mother of quite a few children, she says, live life simple. We can survive on so much less than we think. And modern conveniences are just that. We need to challenge ourselves to live with less in order to be there for our children. They are our ministry. It's more important for us to be there than for us to give toys, to give clothes, to give dance lessons, to give sports teams and all that kind of thing. The important thing is that mommy's there. Your children would much rather have you there in the home than new clothes. And Morgan and I were talking about that the last week, and she brought that up, saying, for you to be there, I would have forsook every new piece of clothing, any dance, anything to have you there. It's so important, and we can live on less than we think. We can go to the Lord and seek Him concerning that. Number two, spend time with your children. Now, a lot of these, of course, we all know, but as I sat down and put these together, it just ministers to me and just reinforces what I want to do with my children. Spend time with your children, which of course then means I must be there for them. I can't spend time with them when I'm not there. Read to them. Children love to be read to. Big children love to be read to. Read them the Word of God. Read them Bible stories. Read them just books that will increase their knowledge, their understanding. Play with them. When my children were small, there was another mom, and we decided that we were going to buy toys that we would like to play with. So then you would play with your children. You get them things that you don't want to play with, and they say, come play with me. You don't want to play that game. I don't want to play chutes and ladders. I like Candyland. You know, buy them Candyland. Buy them something that you will enjoy playing with them, and get down on the floor and play with them when they're small and play with them when they're big. Pay attention to them. Stop what you're doing when they're talking to you and look at them and pay attention to them. Respect them. They are a person. And a lot of times we just treat them as children. And we're in the kitchen and we're busy doing something. Mom, 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 watch me, watch me, watch me. We've all heard those words so many times. And it can go on and on and on if we don't stop and then pay attention. Even if it's stopping and paying attention and saying, you're going to need to wait a minute, honey, because mommy's doing this and you're interrupting me. You've paid attention to them. They will get that. They will understand that. But this ignoring thing, or yeah, kind of thing, is just, it's not going to work. I've seen fruit from that, and it's bad. Number three, give your child physical and verbal affection every day, no matter how old they are or whether they're a boy or whether they're a girl. This is so very, very important, that affection, that touching, caressing, hugging is so important. God made us that way, where we like to be touched and held and nurtured and shown that affection in that way. And we can choose to be that way, whether we were shown affection or not. Whether our mother or father showed us affection or not does not matter. We can choose to change for the benefit of our children. My mom was, in her all her growing up, was never told I love you and never hugged, never touched by either parent. And my mom is one of the most affectionate mothers there are. She chose to simply do everything opposite. But it was a choice that she made. And still to this day, the affection has not worn off. When we're together, we will walk down the street arm in arm, or I'll sit on her lap, or she'll sit on my lap now. And even as my girls are older, they'll still come over and, you know, if they're in a little mood and Morgan's a little black rain cloud today or something like that, you know, they'll still lay on my lap and I'll play with their hair. And it's just so important. I didn't have a boy, so I don't know how that works, but I know how I am. So probably why the Lord gave me girls. I don't know, because I'm very touchy. It's so important. And that verbal, just that affirmation for them, to let them know how much you love them and how you appreciate them. And they did a real good job cleaning their room or taking the dishes from the counter to the table or whatever it might be. And these might seem like pretty obvious things, but there are a lot of people that don't ever hear these words and then aren't ever touched. And so it's just a good reminder for us. So when we're over and you know, go to the nursery and, you know, you just grab those kids and give them lots of smooches and lots of loves. They just need that. You need that. You know you need that. You need to be hugged. You need to be touched. Number four, treat your children the same. No favoritism. This is very, very important, and I've seen the damage that's done with parents who favor one or another, and sometimes it can be because they really wanted that girl, and they got a boy, or they really wanted that boy, and they got a girl, and then the next one, they got what they wanted, so then they favor the one that they wanted, and they're not mean or abusive to the other one, there's just a noticeable favoritism. And that affects children, of course. Or different personalities. We talked about last week how if you have two kids, they're probably total opposites. You have three, they're all just so different. There's going to be at least one child, you would think, in your family that's going to be more like you in the good sense, because then the other one's usually more like you in the bad sense. And then it just kind of switches with the dad, you know. But you, and maybe you're more apt to, because you maybe connect more with that child because they're easier, or you understand their thinking. And so you tend to pay more attention and neglect the other. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to show favoritism. Now, I don't know about boys, but I know with girls, I don't care how affirmed and how equal you've been, they're all going to think, you know, that you like one better than the other. My sister still thinks my mother likes me better, you know, and she tells us, you know, and just absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, depending on my girl's mood, you know, each one of them thinks I like the other one better. It's just girls are weird. But we need to enjoy our children's differences. And if you have a problem with one of your children that you're just butting heads or clashing, go to the Lord and ask Him to change your heart and help you so that you don't treat one differently than the other. Number five, family dinners. Very important. Very important. The way things are today, it may be the only time you're ever together as a family, unfortunately. It's so easy to neglect family dinners because of dance lessons, because of sports, because of this, because of that, because of the TV, having the TV on during dinner or allowing the phone to interrupt. You know, that you can take that time and set it aside, and it's okay not to answer your phone during dinner. And turn the TV off, and don't answer the door, and keep that as your family time to all be together and share a meal together. And especially, I want to encourage you, single moms. Just because there is not a man in the house doesn't mean you don't do family dinners. And then for all of us, the importance of cooking a dinner, which we'll get to when we do our homemaking study that you'll all be running to. Nobody cooks anymore. My niece, when my sister had surgery a while ago, and I said, when she was looking through, she's really into Martha Stewart, my niece, she's 13, and she was looking through the recipes, and I said, well, when I come, I'll make that with you. And she looked at me, and she said, do you know how to cook? I'll tell you what I said, just so you know what kind of person I am. I said, I know how to cook far better than your mother. And, of course, my sister's sitting right there. She doesn't cook. Her husband cooks. He loves to cook. And so my sister then says to my mother, I could slap her right now. I said, but your mother sews, and I don't. So there, we're even. But anyway, cooking dinner, sitting down together. And every family's different at the dinner table. Some families play games. When they sit down at the dinner, they play silly games, and that's what they like to do. We like to talk about our day. We like to catch up on each other's lives. We still do this when the kids come for dinner. How was work today? What did you do at work? So we know what you're doing. How's school? How's this? How's that? Tell me about you so we can connect there. It's very important to sit and to be together. Number 6, teach your child manners. Now, I'm probably going to go on and on about this one, but this was not my mind. Somebody else gave me this one, but I will certainly expound upon it. Teaching our children manners, just simple things like how to eat at the table and how to, you know, if you have not been taught good manners, that by the time you're an adult, it is very hard to change your eating habits if you chew with your mouth open or whatever you may do. Or not use silverware, or, you know, whatever. You know, it's very hard to change. So we must teach our children when they are younger. Now, Damien, when he was growing up, as he had shared the other night, there was absolutely no training whatsoever, none, zilch, absolutely none, put into his life from parents. And one summer, when him and his twin were in high school, they went to their aunts and uncles in New York, and his aunt was quite wealthy in upper society, very nice lady. And she probably first day noticed that they hadn't been trained, and she sat and taught them which fork to use and which to do and how to do this and how to butter your bread and, I mean, everything. And Damien was like a sponge, you know, and just picked that up. And so if you haven't done that with your children, it's not too late. It's just harder the later you are, the older you are. Teaching them how to speak to people, how to answer a phone. I'm sure you've all run into calling somebody on the phone and they're, hello, is your mom there? You know, and they just, to teach them to be respectful and polite to people. I watch some of these moms. I love what they're doing. They have their child stop, say hello to Mrs. Kyle, look at her in the eye. Teaching your children to look at some kids, I mean, they just won't. And even the shy ones can do it. They can overcome that where they can acknowledge your presence instead of just ignoring that you're there. And addressing them in a proper manner. Now, some of us may not think that that's a big deal, but it's Christ-like. Manners and etiquette are Christ-like. Jesus is very kind, and I'm sure he was very polite, and we want to teach them that. We want to teach our girls to be ladies, to walk like a lady, to sit like a lady, to dress like a lady, to speak like a lady, and we want to teach our boys to be gentlemen. And please, you know, I had girls, and you look around, and you wonder where the gentlemen are. My girls got the two that were out there, so I'm sure there are more. There's one more, Kaylor. So, but you want to teach those boys to respect women, to respect girls, to treat them properly, to open the car doors. The thing that impressed me with my husband when I met him is that he was a gentleman. He opened the car door. I mean, he had me hooked. I mean, just that one thing was just great. So teaching them these things. And again, if you're really not into that or whatever, you can make a day of it. Make it fun and learn yourself so you can improve your manners and kindness, really. Number 7, keep your children's private lives private. Now, as mothers, we tend to talk about our children because they're always with us. We love them, and we love to talk about the things they do, the things they say, and all of that, and that's perfectly fine as long as we don't go into their private lives. Even as infants, as toddlers, as school-age children, and as teenagers, there are personal things that pertain to our baby, to our toddler, to our school-age child, or to our teenager that they one day that little baby is going to be an adult. And they are not going to appreciate the fact that everyone at church or in the family or whatever knows about private things in their life. We need to respect that. If they have, and I don't want to get graphic here, but if they have a physical problem in a private area, it's a baby, so you just talk about it. Or it's just a young girl or a young boy, and you just share that. Not realizing that one day they're going to be a teenager, they're going to be a man, or they're going to be a woman, and now they know that Mrs. Horton, you know, knows all about their private stuff. Do you understand what I'm saying? We don't think of that because they're a little baby. But believe me, we had talked about this. I talked about this with Mandy, with a boy, I'm not telling you anything one way or another, but if you choose to have your son circumcised, do you need to share that with everyone? Do you want that child to grow up and have everybody at the church know? I don't want to know things like that. I don't want to look at people and know things like that. That's what you think of? I don't want to know. They don't want you to know. You think an 18-year-old boy wants everybody to know? No, they don't. So we need to keep our children's private lives private. Number 8, don't talk about your children, especially when they're standing right next to you, and talk about them in a way that would humiliate them or embarrass them at all. And I've been around moms where they will simply just go on and on about their child's behavior or whatever it might be when their child is standing right there. And whether there are 2 or 4, they have ears. Think and understand far more than we realize. I was around this one mom at one point in my life, and her daughter was quite tall for her age. And her feet were big. And the mom was, oh, look at her feet. Oh, they're so big. This girl has problems. She grew up, it's not Tracy, okay? She's 6'1". She's 6'1", and she's just still kind of awkward because of this kind of what you're talking about, especially from a mother. Don't humiliate your child. And we, again, they're a little person that's going to grow up. And so you don't want to point out, oh, you know, like they've got a sore on their face or their tooth or whatever. Here, show them your tooth, show them, you know. Do you want somebody to do that to you? You know, it's just... You don't want to do that. You don't want to make fun of people And don't allow other people to do that, too. There's one thing and with my girls, because they were very tall and growing up, and I just, when they would say, "You're going to be as tall as your dad," just what a young girl wants to hear, that I'm going to be as tall as my dad, you know? Protect your children from unkind comments. Step in there as a mom. I won't tell you what I said. Number nine, be your child's mother, not just their friend. It's okay and good to be friends with your children in the sense of you're going to have fun with them, you're going to talk with them, do things together, all of that. Of course, you want to keep that friendship there, but not at the expense of being a mother. And too many moms make that mistake, especially as they hit those preteen and teenage years, because it's a fear thing. It's a, I want to really relate, you know, I want her to really open up and talk with me kind of thing. Chances are they're not going to do that with you. And I would pray that there would be, I did with my girls, that there would be another woman, because I knew. I mean, why would, you know, they want to talk to me about certain things, but there are other things. They don't want to talk with mom, and I'm perfectly fine with that. I was securing my motherhood. Pray that the Lord would bring another woman in. And he did, and he still has. They need that still today. So, you know, they can get a different perspective. But too many times we just try to be their friend, and then it's at the expense of compromise. Because if we want to try to be their friend all the time, we want them to like us all the time. And as a mother, they're not going to like us all the time. If we're their friend, they're going to like us because we're going to do what they want to do and all of that. It's compromise, which is the tenth thing. Don't compromise. And, I could go on and on about this. Keep God's standard as your standard. From the time they are an infant all the way until they are grown, keep God's standard in your life and in your home. That is very important. Don't compromise. Don't give in under any circumstances. They will whine. They will call you mean. They may even scream at the top of their lungs, "I hate you." Don't back down. Stand on God's word. When you hear those things, "You're mean," or "I hate you," you get that fear. You want your child telling you that after all you've done for them, you know, and how you love them. They just take your heart out. Throw it down. You know, that's kind of what happens. And that's that crucial point that you're going to go, "Oh, I want them to like me, so I'm going to give in. I want them to be my friend. I want to keep the communication open," kind of thing. Doesn't work. It's compromise. Don't compromise. When my children were small and we came to the Lord, of course, my biggest concern was that they would grow up to love the Lord and to walk with the Lord. And it was also a fear that they wouldn't grow up to love the Lord and walk with the Lord without backsliding, without going into the world and getting a testimony. Because everyone that I was around that had grown up in a Christian home had fallen away. They had grown up in a Christian home and they went out and did drugs. They went out and got pregnant. They went out and did this. They did that. Then they came back to the Lord. So I'm looking around as a young mom thinking, "Oh no, I don't want this to happen to my children." And then I would think, "No, but God, your word is true. Your word is true. You tell me if I train them right, then in the way that they should go, if I narrow their ways, they're not going to depart from you, Lord. Something's not adding up here." And I really had absolutely no one around me that I knew that had been raised in a Christian home and walked with the Lord without going astray. The only person that I knew of was Pastor Chuck Smith. And boy, did I cling to that. "Okay, Lord." He was raised in a Christian home. He was dedicated to the Lord. He's never smoked. He never touched a cigarette. He's never drank. He's never cussed. He's never done any of those things that are all those worldly things. He kept himself pure, and he kept himself right on with you. And how old is he? In his early 70s now? I mean, that is awesome. That is wonderful. It can be done. And so I thought, okay, it can be done. So I need to do whatever I can, and that means I cannot compromise. Because if I compromise as a mother, I am giving my child that chance to then go slip and go sin. And so it's very important, and it's very important that I don't fear my child, that I don't fear, oh no, what they might do. Oh, well, I'll just let them do this little thing, because if I don't, then they'll probably sneak and do it. Think about that. That's compromise, and it's a lie from the enemy. If I keep my boundaries here, and I had pressure from other Christian parents. It's very hard to stand as a Christian parent today. There were other kids my kids' age and their parents, and I had people say to me, "Well, don't you think you're being too hard? Don't you think that they're going to rebel?" Which can put these little things in you, you know? And then I go, wait a minute. No, this is the Word of God. I'm doing what is right. And if they choose to rebel against God, I would rather them choose to rebel against God and me doing what is right than choosing to rebel when I've given in and let them go, you know, do whatever they want and rebel in that way. At least I'm clean before the Lord. Because as a parent, I'm going to have to stand before the Lord and give an account to the things that I've been given, my ministries and my children are a ministry. And I'm going to have to stand before the Lord and say, these are my children and this is what I've done. And this is what I've protected them from. I always felt that I would stand before the Lord and say, this is my child's mind. When I had this child as a baby, you know, their minds, they are just a sponge, and they're not full yet. And we have that opportunity to fill them. And we have that responsibility to protect them. So, Lord, here is my child, and this is what I have allowed into her mind. And then there's this big screen, and it shows every R-rated movie, every PG-13 movie, every PG movie. Those ratings don't matter. You're not safe just because it's PG. And here's horror films, here's sex, here's drugs, here's violence, here's all that stuff that I've allowed into my children's minds. I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. I have a fear of the Lord. I have to protect my children. So here we really feel like the only ones whose child doesn't get to go watch that movie and doesn't get to go over here and doesn't get to go over there. And all their Christian friends from their Christian school and Christian friends from church, not all of them, but get to see those movies. And then here's your child all left out because they're all talking about the movie. Your heart breaks as a mother, but you're doing what is right. Don't compromise. I see the fruit. I see the fruit now. It was hard. It was hard because the enemy would come against you and your two, you know, and especially with pastor's kids, you know, because every pastor's kid goes out and falls. You know that. I mean, isn't that what everybody says? Well, praise the Lord that they don't have to. And mine did not. And I've seen the fruit. And my girls don't have those images in their mind from trashy movies, from scary movies. We were talking about that the other night. I grew up on every Friday night I saw scary movies. They are in here and I can pull them up anytime I want. And sometimes, you know, you wake up in the middle of the night and there they are. Can you imagine going through life and not even having that in there? And my girls, they don't. It's wonderful. Don't compromise, please. Number 11, teach them the fear of the Lord and respect. And you cannot teach them the fear of the Lord if you do not walk in the fear of the Lord yourself. You need to fear the Lord, and it's that, not I'm afraid of you, God, because there's that whole other end of this strict, rigid type of Christian home where, you know, that's very militant and they can't do anything. You got to sit with your hands, you know, folded and, you know, the whole thing. And being that rigid, and being afraid that if I ever do this or do that, then God's going to strike me dead or I'm going to go to hell or something like that. The fear of the Lord is simply, I love the Lord so much, I will break my heart if I break His heart. I don't want to displease Him. I love Him and I walk with Him, and anything that I do that would displease Him, I have a fear of that. I don't. It's like if you have a close relationship with your mom, maybe, or somebody that you love. Growing up with my mom, I would not do those naughty things because I loved my mom. It would hurt my mom. I didn't want to hurt my mommy. I loved my mommy. Not saying that I never did anything, because when I got to be 13, you know, But that's what the fear of the Lord is. I don't want to break your heart, Lord, and I need to teach that to my children. So there's not a fear of, I'm going to get it. I'm going to do this right thing, or my dad's going to beat me, or my mom's going to, you know, that, what kind of a relationship is that? It's that respect that I don't want to go against your wishes. I remember one time when Tyler was in, I think it was either junior high or it was probably junior high. It was probably eighth grade. I think that eighth grade should be isolated all by itself, or you should take your kids and keep them home when they're that age, then let them back out. It's just a horrible year for so many of us. But anyway, I think she was in eighth grade, and there was a movie that we had approved of. Yes, you can go see this movie. And she was with a group of friends. Now, I had mentioned before, Tyler is the most strong-willed child there ever was, and with a rebellious streak in her. And so my fear with her, which fear is wrong, I mean, the Lord had to deal with me on that, but my fear was, not that she would ever be influenced by anybody. I had no fear whatsoever with that, because Tyler does not get influenced by people. She does what she wants to do. My fear was, she's going to want to do something bad, and then there's no stopping her if she does. She'll just go all the way. And then with Morgan and different personality, she is just a lover. She is a sweetheart, and she likes to please people. So she would be the one that I would be concerned about getting influenced. But anyway, so Tyler went to this movie with a group of friends, and I went to pick them up because I'm not going to let somebody else pick my child up. I want to know that they walked out of the theater. And so they wanted to go right next door to Shakey's or Straw Hat or whatever that is by Bricksmore. And I said, okay, you can have an hour. I do not want you to go out of the building. I want you to stay in there, have pizza. Do not go out of the building. Okay? Okay. We don't live in a very safe town. There are drive-by shootings, there are gangs, there are all kinds of things that can happen, even if you're a good girl or a good guy out there, you can get into trouble. But a bunch of teenagers out at night is bad news anyway. So I went to pick them up, and I pull in the parking lot, and it's pretty cleared out by then, and I see a group of kids, and I went, oh, no. You know, if you've been there as a mom, your heart sinks. Oh, great. Well, I pulled up, but I didn't see my daughter. I saw the group of kids she was with. I said, where is Tyler? She wouldn't come out with us. She's in Straw Hat. Praise the Lord. I couldn't believe it. You want to cry. Here's your daughter standing in there all alone. All alone. I mean, how many of us would do that? All alone. Well, her friends are out there. And she was perfectly fine. Tyler, the Lord, He's working in you. This is good. This is really good. I've seen the fruit. Teach them the fear of the Lord. And it wasn't like, oh no, she didn't want to be disrespectful to us. Because I'd asked her years later, what made you stay? I mean, I don't understand. she didn't want to disappoint us. Not that, you know, she's going to get beat or whatever. Nope, she didn't want to disappoint us. Oh. Number 12, shifting gears. Take care of your child's or your children's physical well-being. Of course, we should do all that we can do spiritually, but there is a responsibility as a mother to ensure good health with our children. And it's something that we must not neglect. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and He lives inside of us. And so this body is the way that I can express the Lord to other people. And I need to keep it healthy, I need to keep it strong, and I need to take care of my children that way by giving them a proper diet, feeding them properly. Now, this is my 2 cents on this in my speech on sugar. You know, if you have a baby who's just learning to eat, if you don't ever give them sugar, you don't salt their food, you don't put any of those things, they will not know. They won't know. How are they going to know? They've never tasted anything. You introduce them to these things, and they are going to crave them and want them, and they're not going to want to eat their cereal without sugar on it or salt on whatever. So just because you can't eat your cereal without sugar on it, or you can't eat French fries without pouring salt on it, doesn't mean your child. They don't know. And, you know, medicines for children are usually given in proportion to weight. Aren't they? You know, where we would take a bigger dosage because we're a bigger body, and they would take a smaller one because they're a smaller body. Well, sugar is the same way. If I give my child, my 1-year-old, my 2-year-old, or 3-year-old, or whatever it might be, if I give them this slice of cake that I would eat, it is like me eating an entire cake. And we have to think of it in those terms. What am I producing? What am I putting into my child? And which is why we have the hyperactive kids. There's no attention span. They're full of sugar. And so, but think about that. When you're giving them a piece of, or Coke, or Pepsi, or, you know, I was really very careful with mine, and maybe too in extreme. And this, again, you can take or leave, you know. But where, you know, Pepsi was something that was a treat when they were way older, and they would have to ask. They couldn't just go get it. I grew up having Pepsi and Coke whenever I wanted it, and ding-dongs, that was what I lived off of. But, you know, we didn't know as much as we do now. Now we know it's harmful. So keep that in mind the next time you get them a Hostess cupcake or a piece of cake or piece of pie or something like that. This is a little tiny body. Oh, proportion-wise, they don't know the difference. They're not going to finish it. You know that. They're going to waste it anyway. Give them a little tiny piece. Proper sleep, and I went on before about that, but it's so important that we make sure our children get proper rest. And I think it's okay to nag about that. Grooming. Our children are not going to learn how to take care of themselves if we don't teach it to them and we don't brush their teeth every morning and every evening, if we don't brush their hair, if we don't bathe them daily, if we don't trim their nails and do all of those kind of things, they are not going to learn how to do that. And Proverbs 31, it tells us that she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all of her household is clothed with scarlet. She watches over the ways of her household. We take care of our children and we dress them appropriately and we take care of their physical bodies, because again, we are teaching them to take care of their bodies, what they put into their body, what medicines they can take, how much sleep they can. If we, as adults, we tend to, when we get sick, we tend to push ourselves and push ourselves and push ourselves. If we push our child when they're sick and we send them to school and send them to church and then get called out because they have a runny nose, you're teaching them to push themselves. And this world, we're so full of stress and so full of all that. We're not taking care of our bodies. We need to teach our children that. Number 13, we need to teach our children that they are fearfully and wonderfully made by the Lord. And that we need to teach them that their body is not theirs, but it is the Lord's. So they do need to take care of it. and they need to brush their teeth, they need to exercise, they need proper grooming, all of that, and they also need to keep their bodies pure. And we teach them that from when they're small, that this is your body, this is the Lord's body, these are private areas, and you don't go showing and sharing with other children or other people. And then you, as a mom, need to use wisdom. Don't leave your children alone. If you don't go against your peace, and the Lord will speak to you. There were certain houses that I'm sorry, but my children were not allowed to go into. Christian or non-Christian, it doesn't matter. You may play at our house, because I know what's going on, but I will not let you go to there. And, you know, parents don't understand and feelings get hurt, but I'm protecting my child, and that's the most important thing. And then, especially as they grow up into those preteen years, that importance of purity, that sexual purity in their bodies. Tell them why. Explain all of that to them. We have our garden enclosed yearly or every 2 years or whatever we do here. There are tapes that you can check out on that. It's very important to get your children there so that they learn and they keep themselves pure. Okay, and then there were some topics and some questions that people wrote. Now, we already talked about our example, the importance of our example, so I won't go into that. Also, the importance of discipline in our children's lives. One thing I will say about that there is a difference between willful discipline. Child is different too. I mean, Tyler was so much different than Morgan. I could say, Tyler, and she could go in there and, and I would say, Morgan, and she would get 3 steps in and not know what I said to her. I cannot expect that from her, and I wouldn't discipline her for that. And we need to be aware of the difference and not put too much responsibility, especially with the older child, not expect too much out of them. another topic that someone wanted to address or issue was that the inadequate feelings that we have as mothers. Perhaps you had a terrible role model or no role model. There wasn't a mom in the home. And you have to remember that when the Lord calls you, He equips you. And if you have a child, He's called you to motherhood. And so He will equip you. And you learn from whatever sources you want to learn from, but you trust Him and trust this word. He will show you. He will tell you. Seek wisdom. And then, of course, don't compare. And don't walk in fear that you're going to damage your child. That's no way to live. The Lord doesn't want us to live like that. Do your best. Commit the rest. Lord, I believe that this is what You've showed me. And go through with that. Even if you go back and you look, you know, the next day or 2 days later or whatever it might be, and you realize, you know, I was probably a little bit in my flesh there. The Lord knows that. You ask for forgiveness, you talk with your child, it's not going to damage them. The Lord, God's grace will cover you as a mother. Just walk with Him and trust Him in that. This topic, which I am not going to get into a whole bit, is education for our children. Whether it's public, private, or homeschool. Now, this is a big, big thing that is going on, still going on. is public school horrible for your children? Private school? Oh, is homeschooling the only way? All of those things that all of us moms face. And the associated pressures that we face with our decision. Don't allow anyone to put pressure on you or to make you feel like less of a mother, less of a Christian because of your choice for your child's education. That is just simply wrong. I had mine were in public, they were in private and homeschooled, except for Tyler wasn't homeschooled. So we've experienced all of them. And it just depends on you, your child, what the Lord wants. What does He want for you? You're not like another mom. Are you a horrible, rotten Christian and terrible mother when you send your child to public school because they're out there and they're just going to, you know, conform them to the world and the whole thing? Are you? No, you're not, if that's where the Lord has you. If we removed every Christian child from public school, there would be no salt or light there. You can survive public school and be a you can shine in public school. You can stand. It's harder, yes, but you can. And you can be an example to the teachers, to the other parents, to the students. So just because you have been homeschooling or private school or whatever, or you decide to put them in public school, no, you are not a horrible, rotten mother or a horrible, rotten Christian. Don't let anyone say that or make you feel that way. Private school, the same thing. Homeschool, if you don't homeschool or if you do homeschool. If you do homeschool, you're not better than anyone else. You have, I believe, a bigger responsibility because you are now in full responsible for their education. And so that's something that we must take very seriously and not lightly. And I must be very disciplined and very diligent in that, because now I am raising this person to be a active benefit to society later on in life. Not all homeschool children grow up and be missionaries. I'm not saying that missionaries don't need an education, but it's a huge, huge responsibility. And it takes a lot of time and dedication and discipline. So that may not be for you. So you just pray about it, and don't let anybody put any kind of a trip on you. I remember I had my girls in private school, and somebody said to me, "Do you homeschool?" And I said, "No." And she said, "Oh, that's okay." I said, "You better believe it's okay." Number five, for stay-at-home moms, which I don't like that phrase, but maybe for those moms who then have gone from the world and chose to then stay home. What about the pressure from the working world or the magazines you read and that article on the front page of the paper yesterday and all of that kind of thing? Pressure of, you are less of a person because you stay home. What do you do all day? You do what the rest of us do. We eat bonbons and watch soap operas. You know, our lives are just so empty. We have nothing to do. Don't listen to the pressure of the world. Go to God's Word. What does God's Word say? And then stand on it. And when you run into old colleagues or whatever, I've never been out there, so I don't know what that's all about. I've just watched. Don't listen to them and be content in the calling that God has called you to. I think it's the highest privilege and highest calling for me to be able to stay at home and raise my children. I don't feel like less of a person. My sister and I were so different. We weren't raised in a Christian home, and she's Jewish now, but she was so career oriented and she's raising her girls to be independent career. They've been raised by nannies and we're just so totally different in our thinking. And she has always looked upon me as less because I stay home and bake cookies, you know. And although she's coming around, which has been fun to see. She had surgery, so she's been off for a few weeks, and she's feeling a little domestic. She's kind of liking that. So... oh, one day I hope she comes to the Lord. Okay, the question, what about rebellious teenagers? Oh, boy. Every one of us has rebellion in us. Even the passive little compliant child has a bit of rebellion in them somewhere that will come out somehow. There can be a passive rebellion thing, you know, by just simply, you know, ignoring or whatever, and not an in-your-face rebellion. But this is why it's so important for us to narrow our child's way when they're small, so that we will lessen that rebellion. That rebellion will be under God's control. And with our girls, we looked at them when they were small and saw the I can't think of the word. The good qualities, and the bad qualities, however you want to say that. How can we take, or their strengths and weaknesses, how can we, it's our job, how can we take this strong-willed, rebellious child and narrow their way to the Lord? Because in the hands of the Lord, this person will not be stopped. I believe the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter were probably very strong-willed, rebellious little boys. Look at their personalities. And could anyone stop them from preaching the gospel or doing what God had called them to do? No. So that, to me, I look at that and I think, okay, I've got a challenge here with this child. In the hands of the Lord, there's just no stopping them. They're not afraid to take a stand. They won't be budged. And that's bad in the flesh, but good when it's in the hands of the Lord. So that determination and that focus. So it's harder to correct that rebellion if we've let it go. There's no doubt about that, but it can be done. And then the next one was preteen and teenage girls with their emotions and their moods. I think of poor Alicia with four girls in her home. Connie had three, I think, right? Four growing up? Oh, boy. Yeah, so two was enough for me. The same thing when we talked about the oceans of emotions study that we did at the beginning of this year, the same things that apply to us apply to them. It's really no different. You will just have to, as a mother, then take it on a level that they can understand. But I would explain to them what their body is doing and why they're going through this. I explained that to my girls before they started their period and when they started their period, and this is why you're feeling this way. So now we've identified it, now let's control it. Let's ask the Lord to help you control this and all of that, the mood swings and the whole thing. And oh gosh, I could talk forever on all that kind of stuff and don't want to relive it. So if you have questions, particular questions later, that's fine. But whatever applies to you in crucifying your flesh and bringing your thoughts into captivity and all that applies to your child, God's power is no less. In their life, they're just more immature, but he can still work in them and you can teach them. Another question was, how do you handle in-laws that indulge your children? You communicate with them. I don't know what else to say besides talk with them and explain to them that you set up a certain standard of and what you want for your child, and you don't want them keep buying things, or I don't know what the indulgence would be. But communicate with them, talk with them, pray that they would understand. If they are believers, I would hope that they would understand and cooperate. If they're not believers, they may not cooperate, they may not understand, but you can't, again, you're the parent, and you have to protect your child. And so even at the expense of someone getting offended, you do it with love, but that's my two cents on that. Then this last question, and then we'll open it up, is how do you decide how many children to have? Do you leave it up to the Lord or plan? Well, I would say most certainly leave it up to the Lord, but I don't mean by not using any birth control. That's not what I mean. I mean, you pray about it. Of course, you pray about everything. You pray about what he wants for you, and then you wait for the answer. And what works for you and what he wants for you may not be for the next person. I know there's somebody on the radio now who I don't listen to either. Not that there's anything bad. I just don't listen to people on the radio. Well, that's not true, because I found the Calvary station, so I listened to the Calvary guys. But who is promoting having no birth control and lots of children? But you can't say that for everyone. So what does the Lord want you to do? And then you pray about it and you make your decision that way. So don't let anybody make you feel like you're less of a person or a Christian, once again, because you don't have 15 children. Okay. So, any questions? And again, please keep them to questions and not comments or statements. That's what the papers were for, and you spoke. All these things were from you, and because we can't have a big discussion. And again, I'm not claiming to have all the answers, and you know. So, yes, Tracy. The question is, are we teaching children, our children, the fear of the Lord and our love for the Lord? I don't think I fully understand that. You mean by us just walking with the Lord? By our obedience to the Lord, I would say, would be teaching them the fear of the Lord. Because I wouldn't want to do anything that the Lord would be displeased. So if I run the red light, I'm not walking in the fear of the Lord. If I, I don't know, whatever people do in stores or restaurants or, you know, whatever, if I'm doing something that's illegal or wrong or, that line there, and then I'm not walking in the fear of the Lord, so I'm then teaching them not to. But if I'm obeying the Lord, then I'm walking in the fear of the Lord and pleasing Him, and I'm going to be teaching my child that. And then as they grow, you can take them to the Word and show them. Through Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord is to hate all evil, and that includes, and most importantly, the evil in my life, the sin in my life, and that kind of thing. Does that answer? Okay. Yes. Okay. You can't, is that what you said? You can. Okay, the question for the tape is, if you have a child who is almost a teenager and they're in your home and they are very obedient, but then when they go to their mother's home, they are disobedient, then how do you handle that? It sounds like you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. If you talk with him when he comes home and he understands that you can't change a person's heart. You can't change your child's heart. So you can't make him obey when he's away from you. You have to train that into him when he's with you, so it will become a part of his life. He will walk in the fear of the Lord. Lord, I want to please you, whether I'm with you or whether I'm with my mom. It has to be that personal conviction. I pray that into his life. Lord, convict him and open his understanding and his eyes that he would see and know he's living a double standard kind of thing. But and then to talk with his mom. I mean, sounds like you're doing what you can do. There's no magic cure or quick fix. Doreen. Are you walking in fear? The question is, if your child is, as an 18-year-old moves out and then moves back in, where's your role as a mom? That is, again, something that you would have to pray about, and what you might do would be different than what I would do. Okay? I know what I would do. And if it's my home, then yes, these are my rules. It's a Christ-centered home. And so whoever lives in my home has to follow that. Which would mean, which I forgot to put in here, which is a very important thing, which I'm going to finish this and then go on and on about that. So you have to, they are an adult, but they have to abide by, and you can't force them to walk with the Lord. You can't force them to do what is right, but they need to do what is right in your home. And then if you don't want that, if they are rebellious or not walking with the Lord or whatever, then that's your choice. Do I want this in my home? Do I not want this in my home? Does that answer your question? The thing that I had forgot, which I don't know why, is that the one of the most important things for us is to keep our children in church. Consistent attendance. That is very, very important, and that is something that is lacking. that for some reason that once they hit those preteen, teenage years, parents start allowing their children not to come to church. And their thinking is, well, they don't want to go. If I make them go, then they're going to get rebellious and resentful against church. And I don't want them to do that. Most of the time, your child doesn't want to go to school. You make them go to school. Do they hate school? Do they get resentful against the school? Maybe, but they're thankful for the education later. You know, that just doesn't make sense. That's walking in fear of our children again. You of course, must be consistent in your attendance of church, but it was never an option. My girls never even said, could I stay home in all those years? Because it wasn't an option. It wasn't an option with us. It wasn't an option in their mind. Okay, it wasn't like, well, I know I can't ask because I know they won't let me. They never even thought of not going, even when their heart was far from the Lord. It just simply wasn't an option. They were in church. And I've seen the fruit from families who don't enforce that. They let them play soccer or play baseball or go spend the night at a friend on a Saturday night who doesn't go to church or this or that or whatever it might be, thinking, well, it's okay, it's just one Sunday. Well, you are teaching your children it's okay, and it's just, in my opinion, it's not, because I've seen the fruit. So I'll stop going on and on about that. Any more questions? Yes. Say that one more time. Severely disciplining. Spare the rod or spoil the child, does that mean severely disciplining them? No, that does not. Were you here last week? You might check the tape out from last week because we talked about disciplining, but no, that certainly doesn't mean severely disciplining them. In the last week we talked about the purpose of discipline and its correction. So, yeah. Yes. The question is tough love, and if you have a very rebellious teenager, how do you deal with that? Well, the first thing is hopefully you have narrowed your child's way when they were small so you wouldn't run into this. Now, they're all going to rebel. But if you have to stand on the Word of God and not compromise. You mustn't compromise. So, if I had to, I would have pulled my child from school and kept them home with me, as much as I did not want to do that when they were 12, 13, 14 years old. Any warning sign I saw, I would have, that day, they would have been out of school and in my home. And I would have isolated them from the world if necessary and poured more of the Lord in them to protect them. It's too easy for us to ignore and to let things go on and not do what is best and what is right, which would require a big crucifying of my flesh, a big dying of myself daily. My kids come first in the sense that they are God's children, and I need to do what is right and what is best. And that means I have to quit my job, I have to quit my ministries, I have to quit everything and stay in those four walls and get through to this child. Then that's what I would do as a mom. I don't know if that answers you. If they run away? Well, I can't answer that because there's so many issues involved there. Every situation is going to be so different. I mean, if that's happened to you, I would recommend getting counseling and laying out the whole thing and seeing where this child is and what you can do and all that kind of a thing. So, and that's too big of a thing for me to answer without knowing particulars. Maureen. The question is about birth control, whether you do natural family planning or something permanent or whatever. I have not, for me going through the Bible, I've not seen anything that would say yay or nay. Obviously, abortion is totally out of the question, and any kind of pill or any kind of thing that would promote that, then you wouldn't want to do. But other than that, I haven't seen anything. I know that there's some pretty strong opinions out there, but again, I think it's an individual decision. Yes. Good question. Very good question. The question is the privacy thing with your child, if they keep a diary or if you're putting away clothes and you're in their drawer and blah, blah, blah. Now, this is my personal view on that for what I did. If they listen to this tape. I have seen the fruit of mothers who respect their child's privacy so much that they don't know they're on drugs, they don't know they're having sex, they don't know any of those things because they want to be their friend, they want to respect their privacy, and they don't go into their room, and they give them too much freedom. And it's a shame. On the other hand, you don't want to be a snoop. You don't want to infringe upon their privacy. I mean, if they want to change with the door shut, you want to knock on the door. You don't want to bust in because, you know, especially with girls. I didn't have boys, so I don't know how that works. But with girls, you know, some are much more modest than others. But for me as a mother, I would, and then they can throw this one, well, you don't trust me. You don't trust me. And I will say, you better believe I don't trust you. Why would I? Why should I? You have to prove your trust. Any one of you. I don't care how old you are. You know, we really have to prove that we're a trustworthy person. So it's not you personally. I wouldn't trust any 12-year-old or 13-year-old or anything, you know. I mean, you don't know what you're doing. You know, so for me, I would not go snoop. But if I felt the Lord speaking to me, I'd go look. And I did. Nanny nanny. And it's my home. That's your room, and I respect that, but it's in my house, and most everything in there I purchased, or grandma purchased. And, you know, until you're out of my house, and I mean, if you were 25 living here, this is my home, and I have a right to do that. So that's how I feel about it. Other mothers are different, but again, I've seen the fruit of that. And you know, I think the Lord really makes teenagers not very bright in that way. He does that for us because you'd think, why wouldn't you hide that? Why is it sitting right here? You know, I know what I kept in my room that, what a dope. I mean, you know, I mean, no, they don't think. They just don't think. They don't understand how smart we are as mothers. But so, I don't know. I just personally, that's my home. That's my responsibility as a child. And if they confront me on it, that's fine. And it was the same issue with both my girls. And the Lord worked it all out, you know. I don't go snooping in your drawers or reading your yearbook, you know, or your diary kind of a thing. But if I feel like it, if I feel like the Lord's leading me to do it, I will. I have to know what's going on in my home. So, any questions? Any other? Yes. In your lack of control or what? The question is, as your children get older and they're ready to move on in their own life, how do you let go? I just went through that. I don't know how. I don't know. Everybody's personality is different, you know. So everybody's going to... I never cried. You know, I'm just, everybody's personality is different. I kind of, okay, now we're over here. You know, kind of a thing. And again, you would hope that you would have trained them to then make right decisions. And on that, there's two different thoughts. I see two different thoughts kind of on the way you train your child. Some people lean over here and they want their child to make to learn to make decisions by making decisions themselves. Here's your money, now you make the right decisions. Here's this, you make the right decisions. Now that's one way of mothering. They guide their children and say, now you made the wrong decisions, let's learn from that, blah, 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 blah. Then you have this over here, which I tend to be over here. And that is, I make every decision that pertains to you, and you will learn by the decisions that I make for you. And that's the way that I learned, and that's what we did with our girls. So then by the time they were ready to make major decisions, purchases, marriage, those kind of things that had been trained into them, that they would make wise decisions. So for our family, I had no fear, both my girls, God has just blessed them. They've blessed their husbands, and they've been able to purchase new cars and new homes on this much money. They just have that wisdom and in their obedience to the Lord in His honoring what they're doing. So for me, I didn't have to go through that of, okay, now you're 18 and you're going to go to college or you're going to move out, and now which way are you going to go to let go? I don't know. When Josh came, my Tyler's husband, came to Damien and I to ask for her hand in marriage, we all talked and everything, and Damien had said to him, now, I want you to know that we will always be there for you, but, we will not interfere. And then he looked at me and he said, I will not interfere. I don't know. And I said, I am sorry. This is the way that I am, and I will be a mother till the day that I die. And I'm not going to interfere in the way of I'm going to tell you what to do, but I'm a mother, and I'm going to mother all the way. And so that's how I am with them. So there's of course the letting go. They keep all coming over, which I love, because I would be very sad if they didn't. But so I don't know what I'm saying. So I don't know how to let go. I would say it's an individual thing. Yeah, I mean, some mothers, they mourn and, go through all the baby things. And, it's just, some are really glad that they're gone. And, I don't know. I don't know. Anybody else before we close? Damien and I had, the question was, what do we pray for our daughter's mates? Damien and I had three criteria for our daughter's future husbands. And the first was that he would love the Lord, his God, with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. And so, of course, we would pray for that there would be that godly man out there somewhere. And that, number two, that they would love our daughter to that degree, as much as possible. And number three, that they would work hard and work for a living and work hard to provide for our daughters so that they could be at home with their family. And that's kind of what we prayed for, and God sure answered our prayer. And, each one of us as moms, you want to brag about your kids and everything. And of course, I'm no different than that. But I don't want to stand up here and sound like I'm bragging or sound like, oh, everything's just wonderful. And everything is wonderful. But what am I saying? I have no idea what I'm saying. I don't want anyone to get the wrong impression or think that anyone's better than the other person. I was here 5 years ago, horribly heartbroken because of teenage girls. Just terrible, terrible years of that teenage girl stuff. And if you have teenage girls, you know what I'm talking about, where as a mother, you just feel your heart has been ripped out too many times. And, it's very, very difficult wondering, are you going to walk with the Lord? Are you ever going to turn around? And then going through those periods of time with Tyler, and if you read her little book, you'll know what I mean. And those were words on the page to you, but we lived them daily. And it's still hard. It's hard to think about it. It's not hard right now. Just all the emotion and the things that we went through in that period of time, and encouraging and trying to narrow and direct when you don't know what you're doing and you don't see them responding in the way that you want them to respond. And then, hoping they don't go this direction and that direction, and all those things that go through our minds as mothers. But I'm on the other end, and I am in awe of what the Lord has done and why He did it. I don't know. It wasn't because of me that I was a wonderful mother, that I didn't make mistakes. I mean, awful mistakes. It's God's grace and His obedience to His word, and He doesn't choose to do this all the time with everyone. I mean, for both of our girls to find godly virgins, it just doesn't happen. And both our girls being godly virgins, that just doesn't happen all the time. But that was my heart for them and my prayer for them all growing up. And the Lord, He brought that together. And I didn't pray as much as I should have for their mates. You know, working just caught me off guard because, you know, so young, you know, and she grew up with Jonathan. I got to watch him grow up. I got to watch them pour into his life and go, yeah, this is good stuff here, you know. And it's just, I'm in awe, and I just know, I know that this is true and that it works and that you're not going to be perfect and I'm not going to be perfect, but you do your best and you'll be amazed, absolutely amazed at what the Lord can do in your life and in your children's lives. So hopefully that these last 2 weeks have been encouraging to you. Maybe they've been hard, and that's okay if the Lord is pricking your heart and saying, you know, you've slacked off here, you've slacked off there, or whatever, because we always do. But as long as we turn around and we go in the right direction and we give it our 100%. And there are lots of moms in this room who are godly and full of wisdom that I know that they would love to talk with you or answer any questions and help you out. And so I'm going to stop babbling. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for Your word. And I thank You that it is true and that You stand behind Your word, and that you have given us the power to live Your word. And I pray, Lord, for each one of us that You would show us in our lives how we can, Lord, better obey You and please You in our walks with You and as mothers. And Lord, go into those secret places in our hearts and just shine Your light on them and reveal to us, Lord, those things that we need to change. And Lord, I also pray that You would encourage us, Lord, when we're discouraged and we don't see the fruit. Lord, help us to remember that we're building that foundation, and it's that downward growth that's happening in our children's lives, and that foundation will be firm, and that one day we will see the fruit and we will rejoice, we will praise You. Lord, I pray for any children who are rebellious against You, Lord, any wayward teenagers or any one of our children who are not walking with You, Lord, I pray that You would turn them around, that You would convict them today and pour out Your love to them, Lord, so that they would be drawn back to You. And I pray that for the moms, Lord, that You would encourage them and help them, give them wisdom, Lord, in how to minister to their children. And I pray, Lord, that You would also just keep us on our knees in intercession for our kids and for their future mates. And Lord, that You would just bless the families that are represented here, Lord. Just bless them. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. And remember our brunch next week.